Right now we're pleased to be joined by Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Hey, Mike, good to visit with you. I hope you're well.
I am, Steve, and good to talk with you again today.
Yeah, good to visit with you. Hey, Mike, let's start with flooded roads. Number one, it's quite simple. Do not proceed on a flooded road, particularly if there are barricades or water over the road. It is an extremely dangerous situation.
You're exactly right. It is one of the most dangerous things that anybody can encounter, especially in the weather conditions that we've been experiencing here lately. And not only is it dangerous, but driving around those barricades is against the law. And so those barricades are there for your protection and for the protection of everybody else. And we don't want to have to put our first responders at risk when somebody makes a bad decision and drives around those barricades and finds themselves in a predicament where they can't help themselves.
And roads are designed to make sure that the water stays off in those types of situations. But as we've seen images, and there have been road closures due to the heavy rain along I-90 in southern Minnesota. And once again, this is something that the Highway Patrol, local and county law enforcement take very, very seriously, because we think how heavy a vehicle is, but it doesn't take much water to float a vehicle. It really doesn't.
Again, exactly right. And in some cases, depending on the vehicle, even a foot or a little bit less is enough to float a vehicle. And if that water is moving, it's going to carry that vehicle right off the road. And so it's, again, just not worth the risk. You have to know what the road conditions are. And if there's ever any question, you need to not make that decision to try and ford that water, but find an alternate route or hang tight until the conditions are better.
Yeah, absolutely. Very dangerous situation. And once again, more raining falling across western Minnesota. We'll keep an eye on that as it approaches the Twin Cities, but definitely torrential rainfall. Couple that with road construction. And when we've talked over the years, Mike, there are very specific laws to protect workers and demand that drivers slow down in work zones.
Slow down and pay attention. Those two things are absolutely critical to making sure that those crews can do their job quickly and effectively and maintain those roads that we all need to have maintained if we're going to continue to use them. And so those speed limits, they're set for a very definite reason through those work zones. And work zones are dynamic. They're always changing. There's always something going on. And so that just reinforces the need for every driver to give that driving task your full attention every time, and especially in those work zones. You know, like my friends in the construction industry tell me, you know, I don't go speeding and not paying attention when I'm walking through your office. Well, it's the same thing when you're walking through their office, which just happens to be on the side of the road where they're doing their work. So we need to be, you know, courteous and respectful for what they're doing. Those roads don't maintain themselves, and we depend on those folks to make sure that we have a safe and reliable transportation system.
Yeah, and one of the things we certainly know, or a motorist should know, is that typically the fines are quite steep if you're caught speeding in a work zone. What does the law say about that? Is it always doubled, or is it at the discretion of the law enforcement officer that writes the ticket? How does that work, Mike?
It's really somewhat situationally dependent. If workers are present, you know, you're looking at a minimum fine of about $300 in most cases, depending on the particular county and court system that you happen to be in. But again, the work zone and anybody speeding through it, not only are you putting yourself and your passengers in danger and everybody else on the side that is using that road, but those crews as well. And while you may not always be aware that they're right there working, you just never know where they are. And so, again, that's why the penalties and the requirement for folks to slow down going through those work zones is there. It's to keep everybody safe. It's not an open road. It is a road that is being maintained or is under construction, and it's not suited for regular high-speed driving.
Another one I wanted to bring up, and this goes back to all the rain. What does the law say about having your headlights on? And I'm not talking about the daytime running lights when your vehicle's in drive, the lights come on. I'm talking about headlights, taillights on during rain or for that matter, snow.
Right. And that's a good clarification. Daytime running lamps, yeah, they just simply illuminate the lamps, for the most part, most manufacturers, only to the front of the vehicle. The idea behind activating your headlights when visibility is reduced or during inclement weather is to not only have your vehicle visible from the front, but also visible from the rear, which turns on your taillights when you turn those lights on. Best rule of thumb and easiest way to remember, if your wipers are on, or if visibility is significantly impaired, you need to have those headlights on. And it's that simple.
Yeah, definitely a great advice. Once again, Mike Hansen joining, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. We've touched on construction zones, flooded roads, having lights on during rain or snow or whatever when visibility is reduced. Another big topic this time of year, people pulling trailers, campers, boats, etc. We've touched on this in the past, but there are a couple of things that people need to remember. And maybe people have seen the videos on YouTube or other social media. People that make bad decisions, pulling trailers with vehicles, safety chains not attached, the trailer too heavy for the vehicle, etc., etc. This can be extremely dangerous, and you need to take advantage of all the available safety equipment, including those safety chains.
That's a very good point. And, you know, taking advantage of and using that safety equipment, but also making sure that you're taking care of that routine maintenance for the trailer as well as for the towing vehicle as well. So that means making sure those tires are in good shape. Tires don't last forever. They weather out, they get worn, and they need to be replaced on a fairly regular basis. Making sure those wheel bearings are taken care of, because, you know, I think everybody who's driven in Minnesota has driven by one or two trailers sitting on the side of the road where that wheel bearing is shot, and somebody has to now figure out how they're going to fix that at roadside or get a tow truck out there. So making sure that we're doing all of those, that routine maintenance, making sure those safety chains are hooked up. The one thing that commonly occurs is the lighting system. You have to make sure you maintain that lighting system on those trailers so people know when you're going to be slowing, when you're on the brakes, or when you intend to make a turn. And so maintaining that type of thing. And then lastly, if you're towing some type of a trailer that is hauling something, make sure that that load is secured. That means everything is tied down. It's not going to fly out, and it's not going to present a hazard to other vehicles or other people that are trying to use the road as well. And this is particularly important in the summertime for all of our motorcycle riders out there. Those types of hazards really do challenge them and can be very dangerous when they have to react to some type of an object laying in the lane.
Yeah, life jackets blowing out of a boat is a great example. That flying out of a boat at 60 miles an hour and there's a motorcyclist right behind, that can be a deadly situation.
You bet. Life jackets, boat cushions, minnow buckets, you name it. And I think we've all seen it laying on the side of the road, and it had to come out of somebody's vehicle. So take that extra couple minutes and just make sure that everything is secure and tied down.
Yeah, great advice. Mike, do you have a little bit more time for us today? Because there's a couple of things I wanted to get into, and it's something I know very important to you, and that is the excessive speed on our roadways. Do you have a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, there he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And real quick, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Once again, Mike joining us here for a few more minutes. News Talk, 830 WCCO.
And then lastly, if you're towing some type of a trailer that is hauling something, make sure that that load is secured. That means everything is tied down, it's not going to fly out, and it's not going to present a hazard to other vehicles or other people that are trying to use the road as well. And this is particularly important in the summertime for all of our motorcycle riders out there. Those types of hazards really do challenge them and can be very dangerous when they have to react to some type of an object laying in the lane.
Yeah, life jackets blowing out of a boat is a great example. That flying out of a boat at 60 miles an hour and there's a motorcyclist right behind, that can be a deadly situation.
You bet. Life jackets, boat cushions, minnow buckets, you name it. And I think we've all seen it laying on the side of the road, and it had to come out of somebody's vehicle. So take that extra couple minutes and just make sure that everything is secure and tied down.
Yeah, great advice. Mike, do you have a little bit more time for us today? Because there's a couple of things I wanted to get into, and it's something I know very important to you, and that is the excessive speed on our roadways. Do you have a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, there he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And real quick, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Once again, Mike joining us here for a few more minutes. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Thanks so much for joining us. Shaletta has a day off. Steve Thompson here until the Twins start. Our lineup card at 2:30. First pitch after 3 hour time from the Coliseum in Oakland. Twins and A's game two of the three game set. Oakland won it 6-5 last night. Tough loss for the Twins. And we do have a state champion in 3A baseball at Target Field today. Totino Gray's beat Matamidi 2-1. The 4A game coming up here shortly between East Ridge and Moundsview. Hopefully they can get that in before the rain comes. It is certainly on the way. Once again, Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us today. And by the way, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And Mike, from our text line, I think this is a good reminder. Mention... if you could, what does the law say about slow traffic staying to the right side of the road or the right lane if two lanes going in one direction or three lanes, for instance?
Right, and yeah, a great reminder, especially, you know, now that we're in the 100 busiest days on Minnesota roads. And not only is it a legal requirement for slower traffic to keep right, but it's really a courtesy thing, and it's the right thing to do. So basically, the very simple way to think about this is if you're just simply traveling, the right lane is where you need to be. If you're overtaking and passing somebody, that's what those additional lanes are for. And then return to that right lane or that center lane, and leave, you know, that left lane for faster moving traffic. It's not that we want to encourage people to speed or anything like that, but there are just traffic always moves best when traffic flows at about the same speed. And so the same can be translated into the lanes that are being utilized. And so if we leave that left lane open for passing and for that faster moving traffic, everybody is just going to move along a little bit smoother.
Mike, this is something we've talked about now really since COVID, when people were at home and not on the roads. I was still going to work every day. My full-time job required that I be there every day, and I was able to do it safely, but the roads were wide open. There was no rush hour morning or evening, and it seems as though that was the tipping point for people to drive really, really fast on our roads. And we continue to see in circumstances around the metro, around the state, people driving way, way too fast.
You're exactly right. And speed continues to really be one of those problems that is just really vexing for us in the traffic safety industry to try and solve. And you're right. You know, as COVID really kind of took over, the roads emptied out. As I've mentioned to you before, you know, there was a lot more lane space for people to use and to abuse. And those high-risk driving behaviors that took root during COVID are continuing now that we're well past COVID, and our traffic levels are even beyond what they were pre-COVID. And it's not safe, it's not courteous, and it's actually a selfish decision when we talk about these extremely high speeds that some drivers continue to drive at. I talk, you know, with my friends at the State Patrol. It's still very common for troopers to encounter drivers and multiple drivers in a single shift over 100 miles an hour. And, you know, it's crazy that people think that they can drive that fast and do it safely, because they can't. And your vehicle is just not designed, if you crash at that speed, to do anything to protect you the way that it would need to at a lower speed. And so it's something that we're really working hard on this summer. As a result of an appropriation that we received in the 2023 legislative session, typically we do a lot of extra speed education, outreach, and enforcement during the month of July. Well, instead of just doing it in July this year, we started Memorial Day weekend, and we're going right through Labor Day weekend with extra enforcement and extra education and outreach efforts going on across the state, just trying to bring some sanity back to the roads.
And once again, it's ultimately up to the legislature and the governor to sign that into law about increasing penalties for excessive speed. I know there's a lot of things on the table. The one thing I thought of when you mentioned that, and I remember hearing this, that some of the large fleet operators of tractor trailers, semi-trucks in the country limit the top speed of those vehicles, that they can only go 65 or 70 miles an hour. Is that fact, Mike, that some of these large trucking operators actually limit the speed that their vehicles can go?
You're exactly correct. And it's a safety measure that a lot of the large trucking companies have adopted. It's also a fuel conservation method that the trucking companies have adopted. And quite honestly, their insurers are really a part of what's driving this. If they know that that vehicle cannot be operated at an excessive rate of speed, the likelihood of a crash or the severity of a crash is going to be greatly reduced. And so you get a substantial break on some of the insurance rates that these large companies are paying. And you're seeing some movement across the country to start to look at speed limiters in passenger cars. And I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point. The European Union mandated speed limiters in all new cars, I believe, starting in model year 2020. And that's just how they are trying to address some of the speed issues that they've dealt with over there. I know California is one state that's taking a look at it. They're the most recent one, I think. But really, speeding is an individual decision, and it's the one thing every driver is always in control of. And there's really no reason that we have to see these excessive speeds out there that exceed the safety envelope of the vehicle design, that exceed the safety envelope for the way the roads are designed, and puts everybody in danger out there. And you're also right on the graduated fines. You know, the fine goes up every 5 miles an hour for the most part until you hit 20 over, then the fine doubles. And then if you're over 100, that's a minimum $300 fine, but it's also a mandatory 180-day license suspension for a driver who is tagged for over 100.
Wow. I know law enforcement, and through education efforts like your office, the Office of Traffic Safety, are doing everything they can, but it sure seems reasonable to me. I just don't know why a vehicle rolling off the assembly line and being sold to the general public to use the public roadways with other human beings needs to be able to drive that fast. Yeah, I think governors are, this is just my editorial opinion, I don't expect to react. I think it should be mandated. I would be totally fine with it. This is as fast as your car or truck can go, and that's it. Sorry.
And there are some manufacturers that are actually starting to adopt that. There's one that I want to say is Volvo, but I'm not positive that has governed theirs. It's still at a very, what I would consider a very high speed, but it's not some of these super fast things like we're seeing out there, you know, the 120, 130, 150, 150 miles an hour. We're talking about racetrack speeds that troopers, officers, and deputies are encountering out there on your freeways and state highways and county roads. And that's just insane. And again, regularly I hear from our law enforcement partners about encountering drivers who they may be in a 30, a 45 zone or a 50 zone, and they're going double that. And the consequences when something goes bad, when I look at where our fatality numbers are year to date, I think on Friday, we were pretty close to 40 more fatalities year to date than we were last year at this time. So we're almost back to the same boat we were in 2021.
Yeah. It's gotten insane, and it's not just the four-wheel vehicles, it's the two-wheel vehicles and the motorcycles and some of the things I've witnessed. And, Mike, people can fight back, if you will, on this, and that is that certainly 911 is available for someone that's driving recklessly or using excessive speed or driving dangerously and putting potentially others in danger.
You are correct. If a driver out there is observing driving conduct that you strongly feel is putting others in danger or is likely to result in a crash or something like that, then there is an exemption in the hands-free cell phone law to call 911 and be prepared to report the road you're on, the direction you're traveling, the location you're at, and as much of a description as you can about the offending vehicle. Chances are you're not going to be able to get a driver description, but the more information you're able to provide that dispatcher, the better. Now, there may not be an officer, trooper, or a deputy right in that immediate area, but when that is aired, every law enforcement officer in that region is going to hear about it, and they're going to know that vehicle when they see it. And so we encourage people, yes, if you're seeing that really dangerous driving behavior, to let law enforcement know and see if they can't intervene in some way.
Well, Mike, always good to visit with you once again. Great info as always, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. I always enjoy our visits, and it's nice to talk with you and with your audience.
Mike Hansen, the Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us. Right now we're pleased to be joined by Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. Hey, Mike, good to visit with you. I hope you're well.
I am, Steve, and good to talk with you again today.
Yeah, good to visit with you. Hey, Mike, let's start with flooded roads. Number one, it's quite simple. Do not proceed on a flooded road, particularly if there are barricades or water over the road. It is an extremely dangerous situation.
You're exactly right. It is one of the most dangerous things that anybody can encounter, especially in the weather conditions that we've been experiencing here lately. And not only is it dangerous, but driving around those barricades is against the law. And so those barricades are there for your protection and for the protection of everybody else. And we don't want to have to put our first responders at risk when somebody makes a bad decision and drives around those barricades and finds themselves in a predicament where they can't help themselves.
And roads are designed to make sure that the water stays off in those types of situations. But as we've seen images, and there have been road closures due to the heavy rain along I-90 in southern Minnesota. And once again, this is something that the Highway Patrol, local and county law enforcement take very, very seriously, because we think how heavy a vehicle is, but it doesn't take much water to float a vehicle. It really doesn't.
Again, exactly right. And in some cases, depending on the vehicle, even a foot or a little bit less is enough to float a vehicle. And if that water is moving, it's going to carry that vehicle right off the road. And so it's, again, just not worth the risk. You have to know what the road conditions are. And if there's ever any question, you need to not make that decision to try and ford that water, but find an alternate route or hang tight until the conditions are better.
Yeah, absolutely. Very dangerous situation. And once again, more raining falling across western Minnesota. We'll keep an eye on that as it approaches the Twin Cities, but definitely torrential rainfall. Couple that with road construction. And when we've talked over the years, Mike, there are very specific laws to protect workers and demand that drivers slow down in work zones.
Slow down and pay attention. Those two things are absolutely critical to making sure that those crews can do their job quickly and effectively and maintain those roads that we all need to have maintained if we're going to continue to use them. And so those speed limits, they're set for a very definite reason through those work zones. And work zones are dynamic. They're always changing. There's always something going on. And so that just reinforces the need for every driver to give that driving task your full attention every time, and especially in those work zones. You know, like my friends in the construction industry tell me, you know, I don't go speeding and not paying attention when I'm walking through your office. Well, it's the same thing when you're walking through their office, which just happens to be on the side of the road where they're doing their work. So we need to be, you know, courteous and respectful for what they're doing. Those roads don't maintain themselves, and we depend on those folks to make sure that we have a safe and reliable transportation system.
Yeah, and one of the things we certainly know, or a motorist should know, is that typically the fines are quite steep if you're caught speeding in a work zone. What does the law say about that? Is it always doubled, or is it at the discretion of the law enforcement officer that writes the ticket? How does that work, Mike?
It's really somewhat situationally dependent. If workers are present, you know, you're looking at a minimum fine of about $300 in most cases, depending on the particular county and court system that you happen to be in. But again, the work zone and anybody speeding through it, not only are you putting yourself and your passengers in danger and everybody else on the side that is using that road, but those crews as well. And while you may not always be aware that they're right there working, you just never know where they are. And so, again, that's why the penalties and the requirement for folks to slow down going through those work zones is there. It's to keep everybody safe. It's not an open road. It is a road that is being maintained or is under construction, and it's not suited for regular high-speed driving.
Another one I wanted to bring up, and this goes back to all the rain. What does the law say about having your headlights on? And I'm not talking about the daytime running lights. When your vehicle's in drive, the lights come on. I'm talking about headlights, taillights on during rain or for that matter, snow.
Right. And that's a good clarification. Daytime running lamps, yeah, they just simply illuminate the lamps, for the most part, most manufacturers, only to the front of the vehicle. The idea behind activating your headlights when visibility is reduced or during inclement weather is to not only have your vehicle visible from the front, but also visible from the rear, which turns on your taillights when you turn those lights on. Best rule of thumb and easiest way to remember, if your wipers are on, or if visibility is significantly impaired, you need to have those headlights on. And it's that simple.
Yeah, definitely a great advice. Once again, Mike Hansen joining, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. We've touched on construction zones, flooded roads, having lights on during rain or snow or whatever when visibility is reduced. Another big topic this time of year, people pulling trailers, campers, boats, etc. We've touched on this in the past, but there are a couple of things that people need to remember. And maybe people have seen the videos on YouTube or other social media, people that make bad decisions, pulling trailers with vehicles, safety chains not attached, the trailer too heavy for the vehicle, etc., etc. This can be extremely dangerous, and you need to take advantage of all the available safety equipment, including those safety chains.
That's a very good point. And, you know, taking advantage of and using those that safety equipment, but also making sure that you're taking care of that routine maintenance for the trailer as well as for the towing vehicle as well. So that means making sure those tires are in good shape. Tires don't last forever. They weather out, they get worn, and they need to be replaced on a fairly regular basis. Making sure those wheel bearings are taken care of, because, you know, I think everybody who's driven in Minnesota has driven by one or two trailers sitting on the side of the road where that wheel bearing is shot, and somebody has to now figure out how they're going to fix that at roadside or get a tow truck out there. So making sure that we're doing all of those, that routine maintenance, making sure those safety chains are hooked up. The one thing that commonly occurs is the lighting system. You have to make sure you maintain that lighting system on those trailers so people know when you're going to be slowing, when you're on the brakes, or when you intend to make a turn. And so maintaining that type of thing. And then lastly, if you're towing some type of a trailer that is hauling something, make sure that that load is secured. That means everything is tied down, it's not going to fly out, and it's not going to present a hazard to other vehicles or other people that are trying to use the road as well. And this is particularly important in the summertime for all of our motorcycle riders out there. Those types of hazards really do challenge them and can be very dangerous when they have to react to some type of an object laying in the lane.
Yeah, life jackets blowing out of a boat is a great example. That flying out of a boat at 60 miles an hour and there's a motorcyclist right behind, that can be a deadly situation.
You bet. Life jackets, boat cushions, minnow buckets, you name it. And I think we've all seen it laying on the side of the road, and it had to come out of somebody's vehicle. So take that extra couple minutes and just make sure that everything is secure and tied down.
Yeah, great advice. Mike, do you have a little bit more time for us today? Because there's a couple of things I wanted to get into, and it's something I know very important to you, and that is the excessive speed on our roadways. Do you have a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, there he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And real quick, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stilesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Once again, Mike joining us here for a few more minutes. News Talk, 830-WCCO.
And then lastly, if you're towing some type of a trailer that is hauling something, make sure that that load is secured. That means everything is tied down, it's not going to fly out, and it's not going to present a hazard to other vehicles or other people that are trying to use the road as well. And this is particularly important in the summertime for all of our motorcycle riders out there. Those types of hazards really do challenge them and can be very dangerous when they have to react to some type of an object laying in the lane.
Yeah, life jackets blowing out of a boat is a great example. That flying out of a boat at 60 miles an hour and there's a motorcyclist right behind, that can be a deadly situation.
You bet. Life jackets, boat cushions, minnow buckets, you name it. And I think we've all seen it laying on the side of the road, and it had to come out of somebody's vehicle. So take that extra couple minutes and just make sure that everything is secure and tied down.
Yeah, great advice. Mike, do you have a little bit more time for us today? Because there's a couple of things I wanted to get into, and it's something I know very important to you, and that is the excessive speed on our roadways. Do you have a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, there he is, Mike Hansen, the director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And real quick, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stilesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Once again, Mike joining us here for a few more minutes. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Thanks so much for joining us. Shaletta has a day off. Steve Thompson here until the Twins start. Our lineup card at 2:30. First pitch after 3 hour time from the Coliseum in Oakland. Twins and A's game two of the three game set. Oakland won it 6-5 last night. Tough loss for the Twins. And we do have a state champion in 3A baseball at Target Field today. Totino Gray's beat Matamidi 2-1. The 4A game coming up here shortly between East Ridge and Moundsview. Hopefully they can get that in before the rain comes. It is certainly on the way. Once again, Mike Hansen, Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us today. And by the way, if you have a question for Mike about the rules of the road, you can reach us on the stilesfinancial.com talk and text line. And Mike, from our text line, I think this is a good reminder. Mention, if you could, what does the law say about slow traffic staying to the right side of the road or the right lane if two lanes going in one direction or three lanes, for instance?
Right, and yeah, a great reminder, especially, you know, now that we're in the 100 busiest days on Minnesota roads. And not only is it a legal requirement for slower traffic to keep right, but it's really a courtesy thing, and it's the right thing to do. So that basically, the very simple way to think about this is if you're just simply traveling, the right lane is where you need to be. If you're overtaking and passing somebody, that's what those additional lanes are for. And then return to that right lane or that center lane, and leave, you know, that left lane for faster moving traffic. It's not that we want to encourage people to speed or anything like that, but there are just traffic always moves best when traffic flows at about the same speed. And so the same can be translated into the lanes that are being utilized. And so if we leave that left lane open for passing, and for that faster moving traffic, everybody is just going to move along a little bit smoother.
Mike, this is something we've talked about now really since COVID, when people were at home and not on the roads. I was still going to work every day. My full-time job required that I be there every day, and I was able to do it safely, but the roads were wide open. There was no rush hour morning or evening. And it seems as though that was the tipping point for people to drive really, really fast on our roads. And we continue to see, in circumstances around the metro or around the state, people driving way, way too fast.
You're exactly right. And speed continues to really be one of those problems that is just really vexing for us in the traffic safety industry to try and solve. And you're right. You know, as COVID really kind of took over, the roads emptied out. As I've mentioned to you before, you know, there was a lot more lane space for people to use and to abuse. And those high-risk driving behaviors that took root during COVID are continuing now that we're well past COVID, and our traffic levels are even beyond what they were pre-COVID. And it's just, it's not safe, it's not courteous, and it's actually a selfish decision when we talk about these extremely high speeds that some drivers continue to drive at. I talk, you know, with my friends at the State Patrol, it's still very common for troopers to encounter drivers and multiple drivers in a single shift over 100 miles an hour. And, you know, it's crazy that people think that they can drive that fast and do it safely, because they can't. And your vehicle is just not designed, if you crash at that speed, to do anything to protect you in the way that it would need to at a lower speed. And so it's something that we're really working hard on this summer. As a result of an appropriation that we received in the 2023 legislative session, Typically, we do a lot of extra speed education, outreach, and enforcement during the month of July. Well, instead of just doing it in July this year, we started Memorial Day weekend, and we're going right through Labor Day weekend with extra enforcement and extra education and outreach efforts going on across the state, just trying to bring some sanity back to the roads.
And once again, it's ultimately up to the legislature and the governor to sign that into law about increasing penalties for excessive speed. I know there's a lot of things on the table. The one thing I thought of when you mentioned that, and I remember hearing this, that some of the large fleet operators of tractor trailers, semi-trucks in the country limit the top speed of those vehicles, that they can only go 65 or 70 miles an hour. Is that fact, Mike, that some of these large trucking operators actually limit the speed that their vehicles can go?
You're exactly correct, and it's a safety measure that a lot of the large trucking companies have adopted. It's also a fuel conservation method that the trucking companies have adopted. And quite honestly, their insurers are really a part of what's driving this. If they know that that vehicle cannot be operated at an excessive rate of speed, the likelihood of a crash or the severity of a crash is going to be greatly reduced. And so you get a substantial break on some of the insurance rates that these large companies are paying. And you're seeing some movement across the country to start to look at speed limiters in passenger cars. And I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point. The European Union mandated speed limiters in all new cars, I believe, starting in model year 2020. And that's just how they are trying to address some of the speed issues that they've dealt with over there. I know California is one state that's taking a look at it. They're the most recent one, I think. But really, speeding is an individual decision, and it's the one thing every driver is always in control of. And there's really no reason that we have to see these excessive speeds out there that exceed the safety envelope of the vehicle design, that exceed the safety envelope for the way the roads are designed, and puts everybody in danger out there. And you're also right on the graduated fines. You know, the fine goes up every 5 miles an hour for the most part until you hit 20 over, then the fine doubles. And then if you're over 100, that's a minimum $300 fine, but it's also a mandatory 180-day license suspension for a driver who is tagged for over 100.
Wow. I know law enforcement and through education efforts like your office, the Office of Traffic Safety, are doing everything they can, but it sure seems reasonable to me. I just don't know why a vehicle rolling off the assembly line and being sold to the general public to use the public roadways with other human beings needs to be able to drive that fast. Yeah. I think governors are, this is just my editorial opinion, I don't expect to react. I think it should be mandated. I would be totally fine with it. This is as fast as your car or truck can go, and that's it. Sorry.
And there are some manufacturers that are actually starting to adopt that. There's one that I want to say is Volvo, but I'm not positive that is governed theirs. It's still at a very, what I would consider a very high speed, but it's not some of these super fast things like we're seeing out there, you know, the 120, 130, 150, 150 miles an hour. We're talking about racetrack speeds that troopers, officers, and deputies are encountering out there on your freeways and state highways and county roads. And that's just insane. And again, regularly I hear from our law enforcement partners about encountering drivers who they may be in a 30, a 45 zone or a 50 zone, and they're going double that. And the consequences when something goes bad, when I look at where our fatality numbers are year to date, I think on Friday, we were pretty close to 40 more fatalities year to date than we were last year at this time. So we're almost back to the same boat we were in 2021.
Yeah. It's gotten insane, and it's not just the four-wheel vehicles. It's the two-wheel vehicles and the motorcycles and some of the things I've witnessed. And, Mike, people can fight back, if you will, on this. And that is that certainly 911 is available for someone that's driving recklessly or using excessive speed or driving dangerously and putting potentially others in danger.
You are correct. If a driver out there is observing driving conduct that you strongly feel is putting others in danger or is likely to result in a crash or something like that, then there is an exemption in the hands-free cell phone law to call 911 and be prepared to report the road you're on, the direction you're traveling, the location you're at, and as much of a description as you can about the offending vehicle. Chances are you're not going to be able to get a driver description, but the more information you're able to provide that dispatcher, the better. Now, there may not be an officer, trooper, or a deputy right in that immediate area, but when that is aired, every law enforcement officer in that region is going to hear about it, and they're going to know that vehicle when they see it. And so we encourage people, yes, if you're seeing that really dangerous driving behavior, to let law enforcement know and see if they can't intervene in some way.
Well, Mike, always good to visit with you once again. Great info as always, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. I always enjoy our visits, and it's nice to talk with you and with your audience.
Mike Hansen, the Director of the Office of Traffic Safety with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, joining us.